Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Cerrito House of Worship, it's ours. Amen. Amen. You know, and like, bless you. Like I was saying earlier in Pastor Jump's, you guys are a piece of the puzzle. You really are. Everything that you've gone through in life is for a specific reason, a specific purpose. You know, Pastor Henry's always talking about Book of Romans. You know, that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And it's true. We go through things that we don't like. We go through things we like. Everything is to help shape and mold us into what we're supposed to be for Him while we're here. You know, work out your own salvation. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Work out your own salvation. The symbol is like exercise. You have to work out in the things that God has shown you. You know, we're only accountable for the things that we know, right? I had someone ask me one time, well, why don't you teach on this, or why don't you preach? Why don't you? I go, well, I don't know everything. I only know what I know. I'm going to share with you what I know. So, and that's the way it works. And you've seen people try to teach something they don't know. You know, it doesn't work too good. So I encourage you to take the truth that you know, that's in your heart, that's been planted, that has begun to grow, and give voice to it. You know, we're all a part of the piece of the puzzle. And this right here, Pastor Henry tried to get it back. I wouldn't give it to him. Old Betsy. You know, when I look at the praise and worship team up here, I'm going to embarrass you probably. Just because I ain't too good. You're going to go, get that guitar out of his hand. You know, all praise and worship team, wherever you're at, raise your hand so I can see where you're at. Did everybody leave? Huh? Okay. You guys hold a special place here in this house. You do. And not only are you up here ministering unto the Lord, not only are you giving praise to His name, but you guys are ministering to everybody that's here. The words that you're speaking, the music you're playing, when you're up here, you have no idea what the people around you may be going through, what the person sitting right next to you may be going through. When you're up here giving praise and worship to God, and you're creating that atmosphere in this house, you're setting the stage, you're setting people up to receive from God. You are ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ in song. You impact people's lives. And not only here, guess what? We got this thing called the Information Highway. You're going around the world. It's amazing. The things that you're doing are impacting people's lives everywhere. And you need to be aware of that. You're a big part of this house and what we're doing here. And I just want you guys to all know that we are proud of you for your commitment and the things that you're doing. Rebecca, we are proud of you and the things that you're doing. Following after the heart of God, pursuing those things, and putting it in motion, being obedient to what God's called you to do and doing it. You guys you're on the same team. You know, there's stories in the Bible about King David, how he goes off into battle. And there's a few old boys left behind to take care of the horses. You know, not too exciting. But when the battle was over, the guys that stood back and held on to those reins for King David, they got the same reward as those that went to battle. All of you guys, as you're ministering, man, there's a hundredfold return. There's a fruit that's coming back into your life because of your commitment to what you're doing for God. You know? Got my wrong leg up. What's that other way? It's called a... I forget. You know, I'm gonna ask a few people to come up in a minute, but I just wanted to start it off with something simple. I wanted you guys, now the praise and worship team, you're sitting there and you're watching me, okay? And I want to speak to you in something simple and realize that when I'm doing this, I'm looking out here at your faces. And I'm seeing I'm seeing what God's doing. When you're up here, I really want to encourage you in this. You're looking through the eyes of faith. I mean, your eyes are just windows that the real you's looking out. There's people out here that have needs. And as you're ministering to them, look at their eyes. Understand, there might be someone out there that you're ministering to, and you know it. God will show you. That person needs this. Pay attention to your surroundings and really understand. You know what? You guys probably all understand this. But you know what? Oh, St. Peter said one time, I know you know these things, but I'm going to remind you of them anyways because you have need of it. We all do. There's things I forget. There's things I forget that I know until someone brings them and go, oh, I got that. But, something just as simple as playing a one little chord song, you know, dee da dee dee da. Maybe that's not where I want to be. Hey, wait a minute. There we go. Woo! Now I can see that, baby. All right. Dee da dee da dee dee da dee. Put your hands together. Dee da dee da dee dee da dee da dee dee yo. Dee da dee da dee dee da dee da dee dee yo. Welcome to the show. Yeah. You know, how simple was that? You know, and the looks on your face were, he's funny, you know? But what did it do? It created joy. It created an atmosphere. I can't play very much, but what I do, man, I love it, you know? And I have fun with it. You guys do the same thing when you're up here. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength, and have fun. That's Christianity at its simplest, you know? It really is. And if I could, and if y'all be so willing, could Pastor Henry come up here, please? Pastor John? Yeah. Let me look around the room. Steve, can you break away for a minute? Yeah. Who else? Dan. Will you come up here, please? Dan the man. Yeah, and I'm going to actually spread everybody out here a little bit, but I want you guys to see an image. I want you to see a picture. Oscar, can you come up here, please? Yeah. Yeah, who's next? Carl, can you come up here? Matter of fact, let's take Oscar and Carl. Come down this way. This is a good spot for you right here. Yeah, right there. That's good. Who else? Terry, can you come up here, please? Yeah. Where's Jason? Is he still here? Jason? Is he in the nursery? Well, this is enough. This will paint a picture. So if I could get you guys, this Pastor John, Pastor Henry, and Dan and Terry, can you come down here? Stand right here. It's good. I'm right here. Yeah, well, I gotta watch out for that overhead. I'll start making noise. You know, And where's Greg? Greg? Come on up here, buddy. I need you. There he is. I mean, this is all because of Greg, so I had to get him involved. This will be good right here. Thank you, sir. You know, Greg brought up at a men's, I think it was a men's breakfast. He said that, you know, we're all traveling down these different roads. You know, Bisbee,
Amato.
You know, I mean, we're all traveling, you know, and there's an old saying that all roads lead to Rome in the old days. Well, all roads do lead to Jesus, you know, they do. Not all roads lead to heaven, but all, whatever road you're on, Jesus is on that road with you.
Yeah,
you know, he's just waiting for the opportunity for you to say, howdy. I need you. He really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at every guy up here, they've been through something different in life. Every one of them. I mean, there might be some similarities in there, but every one of them is different, and they were on a different road. I'm from Northern California in Humboldt County. Greg, where are you from? Yeah. Tucson, Arizona. Where are you from?
Tucson.
Carl.
Indiana.
Yeah. Can anything good come from Indiana?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. If he gets born again. Every one of these guys, you know? And I only brought just a handful of guys up here. I mean, everybody plays such an important role in this church. Every one of you. That we couldn't do without you. You're a piece of the puzzle. You know, the decision making that goes on around here. You know, the support from people that are working, putting time in around here. Dave, I mean, it's amazing. We're all working for the same cause, the same goal. And I only brought this many people up here, but now what I want to do, anybody that can physically, just stand for a second, if you would. It's you too. You've been on a road. You've been on a destination to get here. And I want you to understand all the things that you went through in life up to now, you got here for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And all the things you've learned along the way are for right now.
Amen.
They really are. So I want to encourage you to understand, like Pastor John was using the analogy of a puzzle today. God's putting a puzzle together. And I use that analogy, I've used it for years, that I look back at my life. I physically turn around, I look back, and I go, that's why I met Pastor Henry. That's why I met Pastor... That's why I moved to Arizona? I mean, I did not want to come here, folks. I really didn't. But you know what? There was a purpose behind it. And as Pastor Henry is always saying, that when you make those decisions that you don't really want to do, that's when the biggest blessing always seems to come out of it. I fought it. I did not want to come. It's hot. It's dust. But I'm here, and so are you. And there's a reason why you're here. So I'm asking you to ask yourself, why? Why are you here? What gifts and talents do you have? What do you bring to the table that you can use to help this house become what it's supposed to be? Like you just heard, man, it's ours now. And we need to get together corporately and find out what we can do to support each other in making this become everything God wants it to be. You know? Bible says, owe no man nothing but to love him. And we're walking in that truth, guys. This is a miracle. Every time you drive in that parking lot, go, you know, wow. 3 years, we're gonna pay for this thing? Amazing. God's great.
That's right.
I love you guys, and I thank you for the visual support here. Please have a seat. Get comfortable. Yeah. Oh, you know, I forgot something. I'll get this out just to... Can you please put up that first verse of scripture I gave you, I think it was John 8. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. I found a scripture I can sit on. Hallelujah. There's times you just want to sit down. Now I remember John 8, 2. I remember that one forever. And next time I'll be able to play even more of a song for you. You grow as you go, right? In what you're doing. We're going places, folks. We are. Get ready to ride. I love that Stephen Curtis Chapman song. Get ready to ride. This is the great adventure. We really are on there. And, you know, just getting back to what you saw up here with, am I doing okay on the mic? What you saw up here with all the people that stood, with all the people that are up here, understand that we're a root system. We're interwoven with each other. Every time we come here, man, we're wrapping around each other. We're drawing information from one another. We're iron sharpening iron. We're becoming strong. And coming from the redwoods, I love redwood trees. I do. They're something to behold. But they have such a unique system that they share their DNA with trees miles away. It's all supported underground. You can't see it, you know? I mean, I was content. My strengths, and I think they still are, is I'm a Barnabas, you know? I'm an encourager. I'm behind the scene kind of stuff. I mean, I like to build you up, encourage you, push you out and say, go get them. You know, this front stage stuff is new. And, you know, it's something you grow in. But I do my best work behind the scenes where people aren't seeing. And that's what we all do with each other here when we're out there. This intricate rooting system that's becoming so interwoven and tight, you can't take it apart. You ever thought how, I mean, those redwood trees are huge, and their root system don't go very deep. They're very shallow root base. But they withstand. I mean, my wife and I grew up in the same area, and she did some of the things I did, and we were just 6, 7, 8. We climbed atop these redwood trees. 100-mile winds come in. We'd get up there, and whoo, those trees would begin to rock like this. It was awesome. I mean, if you fell, the limbs are as big as most trees, so you didn't go very far. But they withstood the storm because of the root system, because they were tied together. And that's what we need to be in the house. It's so interwoven, so connected, so trusting with each other that we know without a doubt what the other person's even thinking. I mean, grow in the relationships that you're coming in contact with here. Get to know the person sitting next to you. Get to know the person sitting down at the other end of the church. Get to know them, strengthen it. Get strong in that, because we're getting ready to step out into something that's not the norm. I talked about this morning a little bit. There's churches out that are saying, what's up with that down there? I mean, we've had a building program set up for 10 years, you know? This is a miracle, folks. This is divine destiny. This is God honoring what we're doing. And I called the sermon today the journey continues. I spoke on this a month or so back. We're on a journey, and I'll ask you, as I already have, what's your story? Where have you been? What events have happened in your life that's brought you to where you are now? And who has God used to help you get there? It's amazing. God uses people you don't even realize, that you don't know, that are helping you get where you're going. He does it all the time. someone stops by, you're broke down alongside the road, they help you out. I mean, there's a system here in place that God is using, that he's trying to speak to us all in. Who do you surround yourself with? You know, really, it's not about what you know in life. It's more about who you know. You know, it's the Holy Ghost that's going to show you all the things that you need to know. God always surrounds us with people to help us fulfill our purpose. You know, Pastor Henry can't do this on his own. Pastor John can't do this on his own. Praise and worship team can't do that. I mean, we are independently dependent on the Holy Ghost, and we're also independently dependent on one another, because God has brought us together for a reason. You know, my wife and I work out of our home, so I mean, we have a little business, so I understand a little bit about what it takes to make something work. Well, I used to be in sales, and I got an offer from a store that I worked at. He said, "Hey, our numbers are just, man, we're not doing good. You seem to know a lot about what sales and moves. Would you be willing to take over as a GM to help us get off the ground?" And man, I go, first things first, you promised me you're not gonna sell this if I get your numbers up. Oh no, no. Okay, you know, so I talked to Carrie about it, and that was a big step for me. I'd never done this. I mean, I knew how to do what they wanted to do, but I'd never run a business. I had about 20 employees. So I did, you know, by faith, I went out and did it. And, but you know, the beautiful thing about it, God surrounded me with people that knew everything I didn't. I didn't know how to do the books. I didn't know anything about insurance. I didn't know anything about taxes. All I knew how to do was to make friends, to build a business based on trust. And I knew the importance of having people alongside of you that knew more than you did. So literally, when I started hiring people, everybody I hired knew more than me about everything. You know, and that's what God is doing here. He's bringing people together, I mean, with gifts and talents and strengths. And he's bringing people without those. But you know what they're coming with? They're coming with a willing heart to learn. You know, so it doesn't matter what spectrum you're at in this whole thing. You're going to be used by God in a mighty way. You know, you really are. And in 6 months, I got these numbers up so much that somebody drove by and saw, I mean, more cars. I rearranged the whole store. I mean, set it up to work. Somebody came through with cash and said, "Will you take this?" And they went, you know, yeah, now they got to tell Pat, you know. So I come into work one day and I had a really nice severance check. And said, "We're sorry, man. We really didn't intend this to happen. It just happened." I said, "That's fine, you know. God will open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors no man can open." So I go home. I'm feeling pretty good about it. And my son calls, and we're in Oregon. He's in Phoenix. He goes, "Dad, turn the TV on. Turn the TV on. 9/11's happening right now." Boom. I'm going, man. Well, my wife, I've been encouraging her for years. "Honey, you got to do something with the gifts and talents God's given you. You do." I mean, she's all, ever since we were 16, man, she'd draw me pretty little pictures and notes. I went to work one day and I had this big, beautiful sandwich about that big, you know, with everything on it. I saw something sticking out of it, and I opened it up, and there was a note inside the sandwich that said, "I love you." And I go, oh. She had these ability to do things. Well, she came home that day. You know, I turned the TV off. And she goes, "Honey, you're right. You've been right all along. I quit my job, and I'm going to start my own business." I go, "Really? All right, then." You know? Just never know what God's going to do for you in the situation you're in. So every day, as you hear on a regular basis, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart, because you don't know what's going to happen, but God does. He knows the future. I think I didn't write this down, but I think Pastor Henry and I were talking about this morning in John chapter 10 or 11. Jesus knew that his friend, good friend, Lazarus was dying. And he goes, okay, but we're going to stay here for a couple more days. You know? In most cases, people go, you got to be kidding. Your good friend's dying and needs you, and you're going to stay here for a few more days. God knew. God knew he was going to raise him from the dead. He did that on purpose so that people would believe in who he was. So I encourage you, do not judge a book by its cover. Do not judge a situation you might be in and try to think you understand what's going on. Pray in the Spirit. Trust in the Holy Ghost to provide your every need. What decision to make to push you out or towards what you should be going to at that time. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1 through 4. Here's a man called Abraham. Received a missionary call, an apostolic sending away. You guys can put yourself in these scenarios too. God calls you. He provides for what he calls for. He may not call you to do what Abraham did, but the scenario is the same. He's calling Abraham to do something. And I just want to read this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get out of thy country. How would you like to be told that, huh? Get out of Oregon and go to Arizona. Right, I didn't want to do it. But we did. And from thy father's house and into a land that I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. He departed. Now, let's go to 22, verse 17. Starting at 16. Actually, 15, sorry. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abram out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You know, God said to Abraham to leave your home. He had to obey God's voice to receive the blessing. It was conditional. What is God saying to you? If you want to see the fruit and the manifestation of what God is telling you to do, what do you need to do? Do it. Do it. With Nike commercial, just do it. We really do. Pat moved there. I don't want to. Do it. God wants to use you down there. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is he saying to you? The same way God used Abraham, And in his obedience, he was blessed. And we're blessed because of his obedience. So how many things are going to happen for other people around you because you are obedient? That's something to think about. You have a huge, awesome responsibility to do what God's telling you to do, because somewhere, someone else is going to benefit from your obedience. You know, that's a promise from God. Just like Abram had his name changed to Abraham, in Acts chapter 9, Paul went through the same thing. Let's turn there for a sec. Acts chapter 9. It's just another simple illustration of a man, just like Abraham, he had an encounter with God. I had an encounter with God on my front room floor. I mean, I felt like I got knocked down off a horse. I had no idea who God was, what he would do, but he impacted my life in such a big way in one night. And I think about what Paul must have been going through, man. I mean, boom, being knocked off his horse, going blind, hearing a voice from God. I mean, it was impacting, to say the least. Mine was a little more subtle, and I just sat down on my front room floor at 1 o'clock in the morning and said, God, I can't take this anymore, man. If you're really there, I need you. I woke up the next morning, born again. I didn't know what that meant. I woke up healed. I woke up set free. It impacted my life in such a way that's why I'm here now. It all started right there. I left there. I mean, I drove my wife nuts. I mean, I became so hungry for God's word. You cannot talk somebody out of a miracle. It's too late for me. Tell me Jesus isn't Lord, that he doesn't speak to you, that he doesn't heal, that he doesn't deliver. It's too late, you know? And so the first thing I did, I turned into a sponge for the Word of God. I had to know, what does this mean? I need to know. I come running out of my, it wasn't a study, it was an ex-workout room, ex-bar, but that's where I went out there. I come running back in the house and tell Carrie, guess what I just learned? You know, blah, 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 blah. And she's going, whoo, here he goes again. I mean, I had so much in me that just had to come out. And we went back home to Humboldt County where we grew up and started a little outreach ministering to prisons, county jails, drug rehab programs. Man, I mean, I was just on fire. That's where it all started for me. I mean, I guess it didn't all start there, but that's where my vision for what God had called me to do started. But it started way back when. Way back when. You know who some of my closest friends were as a kid? It's hard for a lot of folks to relate what I'm talking about, but when I was 6, 7, 8 years old, some of my closest friends, and I may have brought this up last time, if I did, forgive me, but they were hobos down at the river bar. I mean, I would run away from home so I didn't get beat, and I would go hang out with these hobos. They were the kindest, gentlest people that I knew, and they cared about me. They would not let me drink. I mean, I had to say yes, sir, and no, sir, when I talked to them. I mean, they were training me. They were prepping me. I mean, I had a good understanding about right and wrong. I mean, I knew what it was like if I didn't say yes, sir, or no, sir, and the outcome of it. So that was easy for me to do. But to know that, you know, I think back on that now, the standard that was being laid in my life because of a group of guys that dove into a bottle and didn't come out. But they were good people. And I know that's part of the reason why after I got set free and delivered the way God did, I went back home and that was the first group of guys that I was looking for. That I wanted to reach out and just let them know what I knew. That there's hope. There's a way out, man. His name's Jesus Christ. You know, that's my journey. That's what got me going. What's your story? You know, and I challenge you to really evaluate your life and think back and look back at the puzzle of your life and on how you met certain people and how they impacted your life and how you met people and impacted their life and shaped and molds you into the person you are right now. There's a world out there that needs you, needs us to touch their lives for Christ. You know, he's coming soon. And it's not by coincidence that this happens so quick for us right now. God is waiting on us. He's waiting for us to fulfill his promise in the earth. He wants us to get out there and get after it. The harvest is ripe. God wants us out there with a sickle in hand. He wants us in the house, encouraging one another, helping each other, keeping each other strong. God loves you more than I can even put words to. And I'm grateful for each and every one of you that have come and listened, you know, to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life, because there's a purpose here for you. Find out what it is. Get involved. Get involved. Every one of the teachers that we have in this house are incredible. And I go back and I watch the children and the things that they're being taught, you know, and I'm blessed. Because when I see that, I realize I would have loved to have had that as a kid. You know, that's fruit. That's shaping and molding a young person's life in a positive way. You know, I really believe that God used some situations in my life that were kind of tragic to strengthen me and make me a better person. I do. Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So I encourage you, get plugged in. Do whatever it is that God's called you to do with all your heart, all your might, and all your strength. Have fun. Amen. You know, and I encourage, if there's anybody here today that needs prayer for healing, deliverance, I don't care what it is. If you need prayer, please come up here, and there's people here that just love to pray with you. That's what we're here for, to support one another. So, Father, I give you all the praise and glory and honor for the things that you're doing in this house. You know, I want to do one thing here. Yeah, I love this song. And as we're talking about the things that God is doing in this house, can you imagine it? Could you have imagined it, what God is doing? It's kind of hard to wrap your head around some of these things, how God can go boom, 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 put things in order. So I just want to read the words of this song. And I can only imagine. You know, we all know it. And if you know it, man, and I don't know it by heart, so go along with me and understand that we are all in such an awesome place. I mean, God is doing a new thing, you know? He really is. And so for us, imagining what God wants to do in and through us, it's an amazing thing. It says, I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine, surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. And I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. You know, I bet you I sing this song every day. And it touched my heart. I used to have a route that I drove through Eastern Oregon, and that song would come on. I mean, my whole day changed. My whole day just, things lifted, problems lifted, because I got my eyes back on Him. You know, I began to think about Him and what He's doing in my life and the world around me. So, imagine with me this wall gone. Imagine with me a new stage built. Imagine with me all the new air conditioners we need back there. Imagine with me all the teachers that we're going to need. Imagine with me the expansion of the praise and worship team. Imagine with me all the new sound guys we're going to have. Imagine with me what God is going to do in this place. Man, get ready, folks. He's coming. He's coming soon. Let's get ready. Let's prepare. Let's have fun. Let's build this thing. Let's build it. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your amazing grace, for allowing us to imagine and to see your goodness. Father, I pray that you would give wisdom and guidance to each one of our brothers and sisters here and discernment to hear from you. Open their eyes. Open the eyes of their understanding to see clearly what their call is and how to perform it. Holy Ghost, our trust is in you. And we praise you for your promise that says, owe no man nothing but to love him. We praise you for allowing us to walk in that. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for all you're doing. Empower us to walk in your ways, to hear from you. And remind everybody as they go their way what you're saying to them. And how to walk in that truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.